to paraphrase Horace Greeley, go east, young man. And that is what we are going to do in podcast 1005, the Bob Davis Podcasts. You know, when I travel, I'm pretty consumed with the traveling. And I like to think about my podcasts a little bit before I do them. Used to be able to kind of just sit down and talk. That drives me crazy now. I like to think about what I'm going to talk about. And I try to do something different in every podcast if I can. And lately, you know, all I'm thinking about is just driving and getting over to three states that I have never been to, which you'll hear in this podcast. So I decided I'm going to do something that I don't know how this is going to be, but what I'm going to do today as I head across Indiana and Ohio as far as I can get is I'm just going to every hour do a quick update and do another sort of ride along podcast so you can kind of experience what life is like on the road with me. So that's what we're going to do in podcast 1005, the Bob Davis Podcast. My friend Steve and I have been hanging out, partying, having a good time here on the farm in Beecher, Illinois. And Steve's in the house doing some stuff. I'm getting some stuff ready here, getting ready to pull out. I've been thinking about connectivity issues for quite some time, talked a lot about it in these podcasts, and you know, if you've been listening, how frustrating it is if you are a digital nomad, if you are an expat, if you are a retiree with a brand new RV, or you're driving, you know, a 14-year-old school bus with some sleeping bags in the back. You know how difficult connectivity issues can be. In fact, hotspots don't work very well, boosters don't seem to work very well. Well, and often you find yourself backing up to a McDonald's to try to jump on the Wi-Fi, which seems kind of creepy, or, you know, getting real close to the building at Pilot to try to, you know, jump on their Wi-Fi and get some free Wi-Fi. Even more, if you're sending up data, that really doesn't work. And if you want to be private, if you want to be secure, let's say you're a doctor, or let's say you're a lawyer, or let's say that you are just one of these people that wants to be secure. Guess what? It's real hard when you're snarfing up Wi-Fi from the Walmart parked at the back of the building to be quote-unquote private. Well, the solution to that is Privacy Post. First of all, they have given me a fantastic box that sucks in cellular signals at cable modem speeds most of the time, and it's much better connectivity, and more importantly, it's completely secure. It has a VPN built in so that when I am behind that VPN, I am invisible, which means if I want to do anything confidential, it's great. But most importantly, if I need to send data, it's a real solid connections because I get cable speeds instead of cell phone speeds. So the founder of Privacy Post is a digital nomad, so he knows what this is all about. What they will do if you're interested in this solution is they will tailor a solution unique to you to get the box, to get the plan, and to get you set up and running so that you can have great internet wherever you are and whatever your situation is. I'll be telling you more about Privacy Post in the future, and I think you're going to be hearing a lot about Privacy Post in the future. So for more info, click on the Privacy Post banner on the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. That's probably the best way, and good luck surfing the net with your new connection, Privacy Post. Now it is summer and festivals are back. I know Sturgis, I guess, is on, and I know that Air Venture at Oshkosh, the EAA air show, is on. If you're heading over there and you're a pilot or you love a pilot, make sure you go to Building C and check out Mark Korn at Alpha Systems to hear about the new Alpha Systems AOA units that you can put in your plane, because angle of attack issues are one of the top causes of air accidents in civil aviation, and the Alpha Systems AOA solves the problem, so you always know how much lift your wings are producing. You can't have one of those problems that causes these accidents. So again, go to Building C, check out Alpha Systems, and say hi to Mark Korn. Alpha Systems. Click on the Alpha Systems banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com for more info.
Okay, I'm going to take this down.
Oh, yeah, you're a driver. Super driver. How'd that work out?
Great. It was great. You know, I didn't do any streaming.
Did you pick up a rise and stuff with it down there?
No, I didn't pull that down yet. I'll wait till I'll wait till I need it. So.
Hey, man. Take care. Let me know if you need any assistance in any way.
I'll be here.
On the phone.
It was fun, man.
Yeah.
Love you. I'll see you later. You good? Here we go.
Watch out for the dummies. As always.
Always. Always. Here we go. So yeah, been a while since I just did a straight up kind of travelogue podcast where we do kind of a ride along, and that is what we are doing in this podcast. I am currently in Indiana, just across the time zone, so I'm in the Eastern time zone. Took a little nap. This was the early day. So on Wednesdays I get up super early to do some business networking. And I am just making some coffee. Came out from Beecher, Illinois, which is where I was, across to 41, 2 to 6. Now I'm on 6 all the way through Ohio. And from time to time now today, I'm just going to stop and take a few minutes and do an update. And that's about it. That's what I'm doing right now. It's just really beautiful day, summer in this part of the country. I don't see much of a drought here. I see a lot of verdant, beautiful, green, lush fields, lots of beans and corn. And right now I'm in a town that is pretty much Amish Mennonite. And it's kind of interesting because they ride bikes. I don't see too many buggies today. I've seen a lot of bikes. So that is the Eastern Daylight Savings Time 2 p.m. update on July 14th, 2021. See you in about an hour. Well, it's time for the 3 o'clock update. I am still on 6. I will be on 6 for quite some time. It's been a long time since I just drove and podcasted. That's pretty weird. I used to do it all the time. So I'm in a part of Indiana. I like to refer to this podcast and this whole trip to Vermont and New Hampshire and Maine as the Industrial Revolution tour in reverse. Because the Industrial Revolution in the North American region, the United States in particular, started around 1760 in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And at that time, it was just the mechanization of milling of fabric. That's what they were doing. And there's a factory there near Providence. There's they just restored this old factory. And that's the first factory in the United States. And the guy that did it basically stole the technology from England, which started their Industrial Revolution a little earlier than the United States. I might have the dates wrong. Maybe the United States Industrial Revolution started in Pawtucket, you know, a few years later than the mid-1700s in England, but there you go. That gives you the era. And I am driving on 6. Now, I've driven across Indiana many, many times. And I've always driven across Indiana about this latitude, the middle of the state, the northern middle of the state, on the Indiana Turnpike, which is something like 128 miles straight across. And if you're doing a speed run, you always blow through Indiana in the middle of the night. And I'm doing the back road thing now. So 6 runs across all of these Mennonite, Amish, the German names. We are in between, we're by Fort Wayne, not directly in Fort Wayne, but north of Fort Wayne at the intersection of 13 and Route 6 East. So 6 is the Grand Army Highway. The Grand Army, of course, being the Grand Army of the Potomac, the Union Army at the end of the war. And this is an interesting place and an interesting state because a lot of stuff is named after that great period after the Civil War of expansion in the United States, especially northern Indiana. Southern Indiana, very much like Kentucky, similar to southern Illinois, you know, it's almost more south than it is north. This is the heart of the Union here in Indiana, especially northern Indiana. Got the AC on, windows up. So I'm going to be cruising across on 6 all the way into Ohio until I get to Cleveland. So we're going to go through Sandusky, Akron. So 6 loops up to essentially just south of Lake Erie, and we'll take this all the way to 20. 20 runs along the shores of Lake Erie, right into Pennsylvania, and eventually into the state of New York. So there's a lot to talk about. I mentioned the farming. I mentioned absolutely verdant crops here. Wheat, corn, beans, and everything looks real good in Indiana right now. So, beautiful summer day, 85, 90 degrees. And 6 is a reminder of how important these state and U.S. highways. 6 is a U.S. highway, part of the old U.S. Highway system dating back to the 1920s, early 20s. How important these state and U.S. two-lane highways are to agricultural and small-town stuff in the United States. This is true all over the Midwest. It's true out west. It's certainly true in Iowa, and which has probably one of the best roadway systems like this, and it's certainly true here in Indiana. So I just hate the rumble strips, that's all. I hate when people put, it's like, you know, I can stay on the road. I don't know why you put the rumble strips on. Finally, for this hour's update, I'm really digging. So did a lot of work on the truck. New tie rod on the right, had a new tie rod put in on the left a long time ago. New transmission, front brakes, had some work done on the AC, so we got AC back, and a few other little things. And it's great, because with the tie rods and the new brakes and everything, this truck is like, it just feels super solid. It's like a brick running down the highway, and I'm just digging that. So that's your 3 o'clock update. Well, as always, I gotta give a shout out to my guys at 36 Lynn, the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36th and Lindale Avenue in South Minneapolis, the Lynn Lake neighborhood. They are great with the community. This is the time of the year when they're doing all kinds of community stuff. They have a great store with locally sourced products. And the thing about 36 Lynn is that if they get the fuel cheaper because they're an independently owned and operated gas station, they pass the savings on to you, which is why there's so many people at 36 Lynn most of the time. So stop by and say hello, get a cup of coffee, check out the store, get some gas, click on the banner at the top of the page at the bobdavispodcast.com that says 36 Lynn, or check them out at 36lynn.com, and they have an awesome Instagram feed, so check that out too. Just a while ago, I passed this very large place that was kind of a holding area for rescue dogs. There are so many of these dogs now coming in from Europe and Afghanistan because the CDC is putting the kibosh on bringing in dogs from overseas right now. And so Inspire and Flourish is pretty much working 24 hours a day to get these dogs here. This organization helps these animals who love us so much, cats and dogs, when they need help. So during any season, it is a great idea to give them a tax-deductible donation. Click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com or visit inspireandflourish.org and give them a little $5, $10, $100, $500, because Stephanie Fleming
who runs Inspire and Flourish loves these animals, and she literally is working herself to the bone to get them help.
Time for the 4 o'clock update. I am in, I think it is Butler, Indiana. So this is kind of a cool little section. All across northern Indiana, this is where a lot of the automotive parts companies were and still are. A lot of manufacturing, light manufacturing, heavy manufacturing are still here. And, you know, it starts to look like industrial Ohio. So we get closer and closer to the Ohio border. So the first town we'll come to is probably Sandusky. And I don't, you know, the problem with these off-the-cuff sort of updates is I don't always have all the facts next to me. In fact, I just figured out what town I was in 10 seconds ago because I saw a sign that said Butler. So I know I'm in Butler, Indiana. And it's just interesting to me because there's a tendency to say stuff and then I feel like I have to correct it later. But let's just assume that we're on a trip together and you know how it is. You're driving on and around and you're on a trip, a road trip, and people say things and, you know, you can argue later about whether it was right or wrong. Yeah, so you're going to find that a lot of these places are kind of broken down, and I don't know why. There's probably a lot of reasons for why. Freeways, in one in particular, and the change in the way that we build things in this country. Or don't build things in this country, as some would say. These little industrial towns, and I don't know what the history of Butler is, but there's coming into town, there's a bunch of different light manufacturing companies, auto, you know, parts, things of that nature that are still here. But here's a great example. I just wanted to vacuum the truck. And of course, when you're in Iowa, there's not too many broken down, unless you get into far western Iowa, there's not too many broken down places like this. This is a, you know, I don't know what happened. Like you pass restaurants and things that are abandoned, and I don't know whether it was COVID or some other factor that produced this sort of, I don't want to call it blight because it doesn't look like blight. It just looks like a, you know, it just looks like a town that's been, had seen better days, basically. But I don't know. It looks like it's always been some kind of an industrial town. I'm looking across the way and I'm seeing, you know, sort of rusty old industrial type buildings and then kind of a rusty old downtown area. And then almost all of these towns either build or looks like they restore the train station. And that's where the library goes or some little pub. It's kind of interesting. But I'm on a detour. So you got to be careful because summer construction with all these places, you got to really watch it because they don't mark the detours very well. So I'm just driving back into the center of Butler to double check the detour. So this is the end of the 6 detour. So I would assume that I got to turn around now and go back the other way because I'm going to be on the detour. So that's good. But this is what I end up having to do a lot of times is literally backtrack because if you get off the detour, well, then you're in big trouble, so. And I don't like backing up either in this thing because it's too big. It scares me to death to back up. Somebody's gonna hit me. One of the cool things is when you get a new transmission, you get a new shifter. And my shifter was really tight before, and now it's great. It just shifts very easily. So I love that. All right, back on track. I'll see you in about an hour. for the 5 o'clock update. We have crossed into the state of Ohio, and we're going to be in Ohio for a while. And again, when I used to go crisscross Ohio, I would go, generally speaking, I would take the Turnpike. The Turnpike is a little bit north of here, runs along the northern edge of the state. Six is straight east, and it, when we get to roughly Bowling Green, which is about 25 miles from where I am right now, it starts to head north and eventually connects up just east of Cleveland. They're doing a lot of construction here, so now I see that there's another detour I gotta take. Hang on. Turn this thing right here. South 66, detour for 6. I've been taking Route 6 detours all day long. You know, they're just doing work in various spots. And it's interesting, you know, the subtitle for this podcast is The Industrial Revolution in Reverse. So you see a lot of, I actually just saw a barn that said 1889, and the whole farm was, you know, vintage 1889. Most of the house was leaning, the outbuildings were leaning, the 1889 barn was still there. Nobody, I don't think, lived there. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Saw that on 6. And a lot of signs that say, we're hiring. A lot of, again, small manufacturing, small companies doing these various industrial things or technology things, as well as logistics, warehousing, things of that nature. They are all hiring, and they're putting signs up all over these small towns where these people live. There's a lot of working people in this part of the country. I was just noting that you don't see too many van life people in Ohio. It's kind of interesting. This is farm trucks and semis and work trucks. You don't see too many people doing the van life thing driving around Ohio. You see a lot of people in their vans and RVs out west where all the national parks are and the attractions. Ohio's pretty much a workaday state. And yeah, there, I'm sure I will see more of that when I get up by Lake Erie, just west of Cleveland or east of Cleveland. But it's just kind of fun. We're driving through endless fields of corn, beans, wheat, or oats, I don't know the difference, and lots of small farm towns as we're driving along. So that's your 5 o'clock update. That's what I'm thinking about at 5 o'clock p.m. And now just trying to figure out how much longer I'm going to go. I would like to get up to Sandusky and then try to figure out whether I go to Walmart or truck stop. So that'll be the next update at 6 o'clock. Time for the 6 o'clock update. I'm at a Pilot. Actually, I'm at the Love's across the way from the Pilot, getting filled up with some diesel number 2. Diesel number 2 is great because you get better gas mileage and it runs smoother. Although I'm a little concerned about the biofuel blends, I just want straight up diesel 2. We'll see what happens with this tank. But Love's generally has pretty good quality, quote unquote, diesel number 2, whatever the blend is right now. The best is if you can find like a Zitco, and it says on there no bio, no ethanol diesel. That's the good stuff. If you can get that, it's good stuff. And it is 6 o'clock, so the heat of the day is starting to dissipate, and it's nice to drive. I'm off the detour on to 624 East, so we'll ride for a little while until we figure out what we're going to do. I don't think I'm going to go all the way through Cleveland. I think I'll just probably find another truck stop or a Walmart. I could just hang out here. You know, it would be cool to hang out here. Maybe it just feels like I'm stopping too soon because it's still really light.
Welcome to the 735 update. I finally came to rest for the night in a Walmart parking lot here in Sandusky. Love the Walmarts because you can go in and get whatever you need. I just got myself one of these 5-gallon plastic jugs and, you know, a little bit of food. So here's what I'm going to do tonight for dinner. I've got a supply of that dry camp food, and then what you do is you boil up some water in the jet boil, and you add a certain amount of water to it, and then you mix it up, and then you let it sit. Those are pretty good. Even the ones you get at Walmart are actually pretty good. I don't know what brand there are. There are all kinds of premium types, and then what I'm probably going to have is like a Southwestern scramble. I've got some tortillas, and I'm going to make some coffee, sit back, take my shoes off. And just kind of be cool. It's still obviously light outside, so it won't be dark for quite some time. Nice little breeze. You can kind of hear it in the microphone. An end to a great day. I love Ohio. I think especially this part of Ohio. As I said, we're doing the Industrial Revolution tour in reverse. And, you know, I make a lot of conclusions about things. But Ohio, one thing about Ohio no one will argue about is the fact that especially the northern part of Ohio, Sandusky, Cleveland, Akron are industrial centers. And I've certainly seen the juxtapositioning of industrial, light industrial, and heavy industrial as I've been coming down through here on 6, and agriculture as well. So it's really neat to see Ohio with this very rich agricultural background as well as an industrial background, really kind of going back to the 18. A lot of these towns were surveyed as railroad towns in the 1850s, and then they were developed in the late 1880s, early 1890s, as well as some of the farms, although I don't know how many people were out here farming in the 1860s and 70s, probably a few. They weren't very big farms at the time, and this, of course, was even then. Still, really, Western Ohio was still very much a frontier in those days. Think about that in comparison to Texas, which didn't even develop till the 1920s. So Ohio, giant state, produced, I don't know how many, 5 or 6 presidents, and I don't know how many vice presidents. And, you know, it also, I believe, was home to either Studebaker was, I think Studebaker was in Indiana, even further west, and the oil industry with Standard Oil of Ohio being based in Cleveland. So refining, certainly there was oil here back in the day. And so it's this really interesting state. It's very, you know, people don't think of Ohio as being sort of cutting edge, but it was really on the edge back in the 1860s, 70s, 80s, 90s, the turn of the century. And I always think about the Tom Swift books I used to read. I used to buy these old books that were written in, you know, 1910, 1920. And when I talk about the turn of the century, I'm talking about the 20th century in this context. And I used to love reading the Tom Swift stories. He was like the Elon Musk of his time, making, you know, radios and planes and cars and things that Tom Swift did. And I always, I think Tom Swift was in Ohio, like Sandusky or Akron or someplace like that, kind of like the Hardy Boys. I always thought of the Hardy Boys as being in some weird upstate New York half city, like Albany, someplace like that, or I don't know, Rochester. Whereas Tom Swift always struck me as being in some, you know, old brick house built in 1900 in Sandusky or Cleveland, someplace like that. But it makes me love Ohio. Now, as far as state parks and campgrounds, they're not as readily plentiful from the highway as they are out west. There's a campground all over the place out west. Here, you kind of got to look for them. And just to compare, like a Rand McNally Atlas, and look for the campgrounds and the national forests when you get west of the Missouri, versus central and eastern and western Ohio, you'll see what I'm talking about. There, the national forests, the Shawnee and all that, they're in the southern part of the state, close to West Virginia. This is a whole different deal up here. And I really love Ohio. I think it's great. I think it's a great state. But you do end up in truck stops and Walmart parking lots. And I've done that many times coming back and forth across here, both on the turnpike and also on back roads now. And I haven't been on a freeway all day. This is a slog, even when you're on the turnpike coming through Ohio. And it's a slog coming through Indiana, even though that's a short deal, because Indiana at that point, I think the turnpike's only 114 or so, 120 miles. Ohio is substantially larger. I pushed a little bit today because I want to get to Lake Erie, where there's going to be some picturesque kind of places to camp. B, I want to get to the New York state line because I got to be in Burlington, Vermont on July 25th. My nephew's going to fly in. I'm going to pick him up. And then we're going to check out Vermont and see what we think, because he's thinking about moving to Vermont. So that's the agenda so far on this trip, this leg of this trip. And I guess to end it, I would just say, you know, I've got three or four states I've never been to. New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine. I've certainly been to Massachusetts and Rhode Island, but I've never driven really in those places. I'm going to go to Massachusetts. I'm going to go to Rhode Island. And then the plan is to turn around and come back and just go all right out west. And I want to go through Nebraska. I haven't been to Nebraska in a long time. And I'll probably end up going through Missouri because of that. Going to go straight through Nebraska, down through Colorado, back down to Arizona. And then I'll fill you in from there. So that is the rough plan. Started the day right on the Indiana line in Illinois, right around Monee and Piatone and Beecher, right in that area. Came over 41 to 2, followed 2 to 6. If you're doing it this summer, be warned, there's a lot of detours because they're doing a lot of work on bridges. They're doing a lot of work on various parts of 6 and 2. So you're going to be on detours. They're pretty simple. It doesn't seem like they're marked well, but really what they'll do is take you around until, like, one of them was you detoured onto 24, I think, and then you follow State Road 24 and it comes right back to US 6. So you don't really have to think too much about the detour. So that's kind of the deal. And it's been an easy day of travel, and I'm going to hang out, make some coffee, eat some bizarre dry camp food, which is actually pretty good. I got some guacamole and some pico de gallo and some other stuff to put with my, got some lettuce to put with my, so I'm going to make sort of breakfast tacos, and then I'm going to just chill. That is the plan for this evening. Well, if you hate your printer, well, I understand, because I hate paying for print cartridges. That's usually the top reason that people hate printers. They also hate them because they're the worst technology in offices. And so Cartridge World in Maple Grove can help you with two things. First, they can save you 30% compared to the big box stores on those cartridges, and some businesses qualify for new printers. As well, free delivery on qualifying orders. Cartridge World, serving the universe from Maple Grove, Minnesota. They are the only game in town. 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632, or click on the Cartridge Roll banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com, that says, "Why pay more to print?" Well, when on the road, I got to tell you that donations really help the Bob Davis Podcast and Mobile Podcast Command. So thank you. If you want to make a donation to this podcast and keep this vehicle on the road, look for the big oval donate button. It's yellow right underneath the picture of the truck. Click on it, takes you to the PayPal interface, and you can do your thing. And I appreciate anything that you would donate. Thanks for listening to podcast 1005, The Industrial Revolution in Reverse, or Go East, Young Man. And I'll see you soon, just on the edge of getting to Eastern Ohio and on into New York State.